Welcome to the Terry and Jesse Show. I'm a one-man car today. My partner is doing some apostolic work. This is the holy hour of power. This is, I promise that this will not be low-energy Catholic radio. I'm a Catholic with a PhD in common sense. That's basically all you need to live in a state of grace. You don't need a college degree. All you need is common sense, natural law, faith, hope, love. That'll take you to live in a state of grace by an act of your will. By the way, what we say in this program, we're not right versus left. We are right versus wrong. And this is where Catholicism and culture intersect. I want to mention two new affiliates to our show. I want to welcome the two new latest affiliates from Central Massachusetts. It's 1230 AM WNEB in Worcester, Massachusetts, and 970 AM WESO in Southbridge to the Station of the Cross Catholic Media Network. Welcome, welcome. We also want to thank the founders of Emmanuel Radio, Ray Laurin and his family, as well as Cindy Dorsey for their amazing work building these great radio stations. And welcome again to our listeners. It's a pleasure to have you as part of the Station of the Cross family, and we think you'll enjoy our programming. The month of January is dedicated to the holy name of Jesus. The Bible tells us in Philippians chapter 2, verse 10 and 11, in the name of Jesus, every knee should bow of those that are in heaven, on earth, and under the earth, and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. The Lord Jesus Christ, this name is chosen in heaven, and the angel Gabriel announces it when he informs the Blessed Virgin of the Incarnation. The angel Gabriel says, behold, thou shalt conceive in thy womb, and shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus. The name of Jesus is like honey on my lips. It's like a melody at midnight. The name of Jesus is a song in the sweet storm of life. And the name of Jesus is it brings serenity of conscience and peace of soul. The name of Jesus is pregnant with theology and meaning because it means God saves. The very name Jesus bespeaks the magnitude of his mission, his infinite love, a love that caused him to offer himself up for us. The holy name of Jesus is the most powerful name in the universe. It is the name that drives out demons. But I warn you that if that name is used as blasphemy, it will be your death sentence. Some good news from the NCAA guidelines. This is the organization that runs college sports, college basketball, NCAA guidelines. They're equating natural immunity from COVID-19 infection with being fully vaccinated. Hear, hear, some common sense. This is good news. Put that one in your good news file. So the NCAA, the governing body that regulates college basketball, released updated COVID-19 guidance on Thursday for winter sports that recognizes athletes with natural immunity from previous coronavirus infection as equivalent to being fully vaccinated. Talk about some common sense, finally. The new guidelines also defines the fully vaccinated as having taken both primary doses of a COVID vaccine as well as a third booster shot. So that's good news. So if I was young and playing college sports right now, I would be considered... I would be considered fully vaccinated because I've got the natural immunity because I've had the virus came right through me. It's gone. And now, according to Israeli studies, this immunity is going to be with me for a long, long time. I want to share the word of God with you because that's the focus of our program. We want to bring people to a saving knowledge of the Lord, our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. So I'm going to share today's mass readings. Today is the first Friday of the month, It's a good practice, a good devotion to go to Holy Mass, receive communion, pray the rosary, live in a state of grace, and pray for the intentions of the Pope and Our Father, a Hail Mary, and a Glory Be. Today is also the feast day of St. Raymond of Penafort. Pray for us. St. Raymond of Penafort, pray for us. I want to share the first reading and the gospel because there's a lot of meat. A lot of meat there. So, today's first reading is 1 John chapter 5, verses 5 to 13. No, it's not actually the first reading. It's the only the reading before the gospel in the Novus Ordo Mass. There's not a second reading. Beloved, who indeed is victor over the world but the one who believes that Jesus is the Son of God? So notice, you want victory over the world? What do you need? You must believe that Jesus is the Son of God. That's our victory. The Bible says, this is the one who came through water and blood, Jesus Christ, not by water alone, but by water and blood. The Spirit is the one who testifies, and the Spirit is truth. So there are three who testify, the Spirit, the water, and the blood. And the three are of one accord. If we accept human testimony, the testimony of God is surely greater. Now the testimony of God is this, that he has testified on behalf of his Son. Whoever believes in the Son of God has this testimony within himself. Whoever does not believe God has made him a liar by not believing the testimony God has given about his Son. So notice what God calls atheists. God just called atheists liars. So when somebody says something silly like, oh yeah, atheists can go to heaven. No. Hebrews chapter 11 says, for without faith it is impossible to please God, number one. And number two, the Bible just says that people that don't believe in God are liars. And the Bible also says that liars can't enter into the kingdom of heaven. The reading today at Holy Mass says, again, whoever does not believe God has made him a liar by not believing the testimony God has given about his Son. That would include Muslims, by the way. And this is the and many other pagan religions. And this is the testimony God gave us, eternal life. And this life is in his Son. Whoever possesses the Son has life. That means eternal life. Whoever does not possess the Son does not have life. I write these things to you so that you may know that you have eternal life, you who believe in the name of the Son of God, the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. I want to talk about the three witnesses mentioned today in the first letter of John chapter 5, verse 8. The three witnesses, this is the evidence of Christ's humanity that's present in the liturgy, where the Spirit never ceases to bring Christ to the world. How? Through the water of baptism and the blood of the Eucharist. This is the threefold witness of the evidence of Christ's humanity present at the sacred liturgy. Faith in the incarnation is thus supported by the joint testimony of history and liturgy. John the Apostle was uniquely qualified to insist on this. He not only engaged in sacramental ministry, but he was the sole apostle to witness the Holy Spirit, the water, and the blood come forth from the crucified body of Jesus in John chapter 19, verse 30 and 34. And so the Mosaic law required joint testimony from two or three witnesses to uphold a claim in the court of law. That's in Deuteronomy chapter 9, verse 15. And by the way, our secular courts, I was a cop, retired cop, they also require at least two witnesses to sustain a guilty verdict or to bring charges against a suspect. But for other uses of this legal standard, we find in the New Testament in John chapter 5, verse 30 to 47, and in 2 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 1, is that everything must be confirmed based on the testimony of two or three witnesses. So the three witnesses become one in baptism, for if you eliminate one of them, the sacrament ceases to be. And without the cross of Christ, water is simply a natural element. And without water, there's no mystery of regeneration. And unless one is baptized in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, there is neither remission of sins nor reception of spiritual grace. Now, what about that phrase where it says, he who has the Son has life, and he who has not the Son has not life? Okay? John is certain, not that his readers will make it to heaven, but that they are filled with the living presence of Christ. This is how John understands eternal life throughout his letters. The readers are thus assured that they possess Christ, not that they will persevere in this grace until the end. The danger still exists that the saints on earth can fall into deadly sin. And John mentions this later on in 1 John chapter 5, verse 16. We don't want to fall into the sin of presumption, like many Protestants fundamentalists do, nor do we want to fall into the sin of despair, like Judas. We'll be right back. Terry and Jesse Show, talking about why so many Hispanics are jumping ship over to the Republican Party.
Welcome back to the Terry and Jesse Show. To join the conversation, call 888-526-2151. Now, here's Terry and Jesse.
It seems to me like irreligious Democrats are scaring off Hispanic voters. Hispanic voters don't appear to care for the party's wokeness, their embrace of socialism, i.e. communism. You know, Joe Biden, what the Democrats do, is, especially during times of election, they'll try to get power players in the black and Hispanic community to try to shill for them. For example, the Democrats, you know, they use actors and actresses all the time to campaign for them. Eva Longoria, she campaigned for Biden back in September 2020. I wonder how happy she is with this presidency. I'd like to be a fly on the wall and see what she has to say about Joe Biden with his failed economy and the gas prices and the food and the mask mandates. However, most people don't realize that Donald Trump, he fared better with Hispanic voters in 2020 than he did in 2016. The second time he ran, the stolen election, the unelected Joe Biden, the second election, Trump actually got more Hispanic votes last year than he did 5 years ago. In fact, this prompted Barack Obama to muse shortly after the election last year. He said, quote, there's a lot of evangelical Hispanics who, the fact that Trump says racist things about Mexicans, which he doesn't, by the way, or puts undocumented workers in cages. Obama, you built the cages. Obama says they think that's less important than the fact that he supports their views on gay marriage or abortion, close quote. So Obama's sour remark foreshadowed what has now become a topic of growing anxiety amongst Democrats, and that's the fading presence of Hispanic voters in their party. I happen to be Hispanic, so I'm in the mix of this. It appears that the Democrat Party's wokeness, identity politics, secularism, and socialism are alienating many Hispanic voters. Jennifer Medina of the New York Times noted in an article last year, she wrote, Hispanic evangelicals are one of the fastest growing religious groups in this country. Churches remain important sites for political socialization, and evangelicalism is, at this juncture, a conservative force in American culture and politics, close quote. Now, this is kind of embarrassing to me as a Hispanic Catholic American. I'll tell you why. The fact that you're seeing Protestant Hispanics embrace conservative and patriotism and common sense more than Hispanic Catholics do. This is an embarrassing fact that I place at the feet of the U.S. bishops. It makes sense, then, that the Hispanic evangelicals are much more likely than their Catholic counterparts to vote Republican and for conservative issues. Hispanic Protestants supported Trump on a wide range of issues, according to the findings of the Public Religion Research Institute, which says, quote, a majority of Hispanic Protestants approve of Trump's job in office, 57%, and his performance with the economy, 58%. Hispanic Catholics and those who are religiously unaffiliated are considerably less likely to approve of President Trump's job in office. Only 27% of Hispanic Catholics and 16% of Hispanics who are religiously unaffiliated. Or his performance with the economy. Hispanic Protestants are also more likely to approve of how Trump dealt with racial justice protests than Hispanic Catholics or those who are religiously unaffiliated. So here's what's embarrassing. Hispanic Protestants are more conservative and patriotic than Hispanic Catholics. Once again, the lack of catechesis in the last 6 years post-Vatican II, this is why we're seeing this. Natalie Jackson, director of research in the Public Religion Research Institute, told the Los Angeles Times, or the Left Angeles Times, that Hispanic Protestants look more like white Protestants than Hispanic Catholics, she says. It's the largest gap we see in our data amongst Hispanics. In other words, I'll repeat it again, what I'm embarrassed to say. Hispanic Protestants are more conservative and patriotic than Hispanic Catholics. Again, I place this at the feet of the U.S. bishops and our Catholic education post-Vatican II, which means after 1965, which has embraced modernism, values clarification, and basically the dumbing down and the watering down of the Catholic faith. According to the Wall Street Journal's recent polling, the nation's largest and diverse group of Hispanic voters is showing signs of dividing its support between Democrats and Republicans more evenly than in recent elections. Last year, Hispanics gave 60% of their vote to Democrat House candidates, but this year the paper says Hispanic voters are evenly split in their choice for Congress. So there's no doubt, due to Biden's aggressive left-wing agenda, his first year has been defined by tedious wokeness, from pushing transgenderism to flying Black Lives Matter flags atop U.S. embassies to hysterical COVID mandates. Democratic strategists find it particularly alarming that Hispanic voters appear more concerned about the economy than immigration. For example, in Texas and Florida, Hispanic voters see Republicans as far more reliable guardians of the economy and border than Democrats. The Democrats are paying a price for their complacent assumption that Hispanics would cheer Biden's goal of transforming America, according to critical race theory. That's not happening. Clearly, Democratic strategist Roy Texera says, clearly, this constituency of Hispanics does not harbor particularly radical views on the nature of American society and its supposed intrinsic racism and white supremacy. Democratic strategist Ray Tejera says they are instead a patriotic, upwardly mobile, working class group with quite practical and down-to-earth concerns. Democrats will either learn to focus on that or they will continue to lose among this vital group of voters, which are Hispanics. The Democrats' blurring of the sexes and the use of absurd terms such as Latinx do not impress Hispanics. Recall the unsuccessful trip of Kamala Harris to Central America. Should she end up running in 2024 for president, the Democrats could lose a Hispanic vote to the GOP entirely. The more Kamala Harris opens her mouth and the more Kamala Harris and company push radical feminism and racial politics, the more they war on traditional religion and morality, the more they undermine the economy for the sake of frivolous causes, the weaker Democrats' hold on Hispanic voters becomes. Biden and Harris are trying to turn America into the very socialist and secularist dystopia that many Hispanics have fled in their own countries. Implicit in Obama's explanation for Trump's improved numbers with Hispanic voters is that many of them support him on social issues, but they would never support him on non-social issues. But is that true? Maybe not. Hispanic voters may end up voting for the GOP in 2022 at the midterms, and in 2024, not in spite of its economic immigration policies, but because of them. Hispanics forced to choose between Biden's woke America and traditional America, it looks like Hispanic voters increasingly prefer the latter, traditional America. I've seen this in my network of Hispanics. They are red-pilling, my family and friends, my network of Hispanic relations. They are red-pilling by the hundreds, by the thousands, and leaving the Democrat plantation of wokeness and slavery to the Democratic Socialist agenda. I'll tell you, Latinos are just naturally conservative in their ethos, in their heart, whether they know it or not. Why do I say this? Latinos generally, Hispanics believe in the sanctity of human life, in God, in religion, in equality, in the sanctity of the unborn. They believe in the freedom, the right to speak and to bear arms. They believe in traditional family values. Hispanics believe in lower taxes, economic prosperity, small businesses. Hispanics believe in education, school choice. Hispanics believe in regulations that stimulate the economy and create jobs. They're all about working. Hispanics want lower cost of health care and prescription drugs. They want to save Social Security, preserve Medicare and Medicaid. And they want social programs that lift people out of poverty. Hispanics love the free market. They want more freedom and personal responsibility, and Hispanics promote legal immigration. But the Democrats stand for quite the opposite. And this is why they're going to pay for it come the next election, because Hispanics are red-pilling by the thousands. Democrats stand for abortion up to birth, and they reject Christian values. The Democrats believe in big government socialism. The Democrats believe in more and higher taxes. Hispanics don't. They don't believe in any of this. Higher taxes means less money for you in your pocket. The Democrats enforce regulations that hurt small businesses and kill jobs. Hispanics are all about small businesses and jobs. The Democrats believe in government-run schools and brainwashing. Hispanics believe in private school education or homeschool as well. It should be an option. And that parents should be the primary educators of their children, and that we should have the say as to what they're being taught. Democrats teach and normalize non-traditional sexual lifestyles from kindergarten to 12th grade. Hispanics have an aversion to this, to people talking about sexual intimacy and sexual matters within the context of a public school education to their children. Hispanics have an aversion to this. Democrats believe in identity politics and in the manipulation of minorities, and blacks and Hispanics are waking up to this. They've been realizing that we've been manipulated for decades by the party of death. Democrats stand for open borders that hurt legal immigrants. Hispanics are for legal immigration, not illegal immigration. And in fact, I'll tell you who's taken a hit as a result of illegal immigration is blacks. You saw back in the 30s, 40s, 50s, 60s, even 70s, there's a lot of black men that were doing blue-collar jobs. Now, there's hardly any black men doing any blue-collar jobs. A lot of them are homeless or in prison. Why? These blue-collar jobs, a lot of them have been taken by illegal immigrants who are willing to get paid whatever these Democrats want to pay them, or big businesses want to pay them. We'll be right back. Don't change that dial.
Welcome back to the Terry and Jesse Show. To join the conversation, call 888-526-2151. Now, here's Terry and Jesse.
You're listening to the Terry and Jesse Show. The best defense is a good offense, so let's proclaim the gospel with the Holy Spirit power, with love and conviction. I want to change gears now, and I want to talk about this great article, which is called "This Book is a Vaccine Against Woke Idiocy, a Perfect Gift for Students." So, John Zmirek, who's a great Catholic author, he interviewed Robert Riley, who's another great Catholic author. These are two smart guys, authors, and basically deep thinkers. And the interview is about Robert Riley's recent book, America on Trial. So John Zmirek asked Robert Riley, two Catholic deep thinkers, conservatives, patriots, people of faith. He says, "I deeply admire your recent book, America on Trial. I've told professors that they could use it as a single textbook for an entire semester of political philosophy." He says, "You just issued an expanded new edition with additional material responding to the 1619 Project. What's the thrust of your response?" The 1619 Project basically means that America is a racist country. Okay. So Robert Riley, another smart Catholic, he says, "When confronting the accusation that the Constitution was a pro-slavery document, Frederick Douglass, a brilliant abolitionist leader who had himself escaped slavery, said that it was a slander upon their memory. He was referring to the American founders. I consider the 1619 Project," Robert Riley says, "calumny. This is not simply a conservative complaint. A group of historians, none of whom could be characterized as conservative, banded together to send a joint letter to the New York Times Magazine pointing out the historical distortions in the 1619 Project. Historian of the American founding era, Bernard Balin, said the following, quote, 'What is significant in the historical context of the time is not that the liberty-loving revolutionaries allowed slavery to survive, but that they, even those who profited directly from the institution, went so far in condemning it, confining it, and setting in motion the forces that would ultimately destroy it.' Princeton historian Professor Sean Willens writes, quote, 'As a spiritual as well as political endeavor, it is one of the most, if not the most astonishing unfolding of the unforeseen in all of recorded human history.'" Close quote. In other words, the most extraordinary thing about the 1619 Project is how much you would have to not know in order to embrace it. The 1619 Project is really Marxism in blackface. So John Zmirek asked Robert Riley, he says, "Do you think it's a backhanded compliment to American exceptionalism, the fact that black activists are making demands of the U.S. they'd never think to make of in Uganda or Rwanda?" Robert Riley says, "I don't think it's a compliment of any kind. By claiming that the United States was founded on a lie, they are essentially calling for its abolition. With what would they replace it? Well, we have to read the charter statements of some groups like Black Lives Matter to know they have simply replaced Marxist-Leninist class theory of history with a race theory of history, intermixed with the LGBT and transgender agenda to take down the natural family." Robert Riley says, "What we're witnessing today is the retribalization of society through so-called identity politics. Racism, anti-racism, is just another way of denying a common humanity that has its source in a spiritual disorder similar to the ones animating other ideologies. Yep. This whole 1619 project that every white person is a racist, this is a spiritual disorder that's provoked and influenced by demons who prey on people's fallen nature and their intellectual malformation. So John Smirak asked Robert Riley, one reason you wrote the book in the first place was to respond to the Anthony Kennedy version of American liberty as laid out in his infamous Planned Parenthood versus Casey opinion. Can you briefly characterize Anthony Kennedy's account of the founding vision and why he's wrong? Robert Riley says, Justice Anthony Kennedy's notorious statement in Planned Parenthood versus Casey was that, quote, at the heart of liberty is the right to define one's own concept of existence, of meaning, of the universe, and of the mystery of human life, close quote. That's what you get when you have a bad Catholic Marxist education. You get thinkers like Justice Anthony Kennedy. That's good that he's retired. So Robert Riley says the founders who set forth the new nation would have found completely objectionable Justice Kennedy's misunderstanding of freedom. The total dependence of liberty upon virtue, both Aristotelian and Christian, was abundantly, unmistakably clear from their frequent writings, so that the idea of freedom as contentless choice was totally alien to them. So would be the idea that liberty is the right to define one's own meaning of the universe. For them, the founding fathers, the meaning of the universe originates not in ourselves, but in the laws of nature and nature's God. Okay? That's the God that we believe in, by the way, who's Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Anthony Kennedy's a retired apostate Catholic justice of the Supreme Court. Good riddance. And we need the rest of them to be gone as well. So John Smirak asked Robert Riley, two smart Catholics talking about the 1619 Project. he says, I'd like you to make an important distinction. If, as you claim, the American founders made truthful claims about universal human rights, not merely assertions of Anglo-American liberties, then aren't the neoconservatives right? Shouldn't we be striving to overturn foreign governments that don't offer these liberties? And Robert Riley responds, he says this, American exceptionalism is based upon the fact that we are the first country in history to be based upon universal principles. However, it was never meant to be the mission of America to impose those principles or practices to which they led onto other countries, or to go abroad, or to go abroad seeking monsters to slay. America's foremost duties are to its citizens and to their security. It cannot keep those obligations and also undertake the construction of a universal state, the very definition of which is tyranny. Our founders intended us to be led by example, a shining city set upon a hill. Unfortunately, due to our undercurrent state of moral debasement, the city no longer shines so much in America. America is a republic. It's not an empire. It's not a kingdom. John Smirak asks, is the woke ideology a distinctly American Christian heresy? Robert Riley says, only in the sense that it's meant to replace Christianity. It's the kind of nonsense you get when you lose your Christian faith. Woke ideology offers a substitute salvation in man's own control. We've seen what that path leads to in the past. Charnel houses and concentration camps. By the way, a charnel house is a building or a vault in which corpses or bones are piled up, or a place associated with violent death. John Smirak asks, do you think it's inevitable that anti-white rhetoric and agitation will spark white identity politics with all the consequent collapse of civic unity and national cohesion? If not, what could prevent that? Robert Riley says, nope. except for some deluded people like the neo-Nazis, which are very, very small in number, I don't think it'll lead to that. I think many people, regardless of race, are appalled by this rhetoric and agitation. The reaction against it is bringing people together. John Smirek asks, is it possible to unite a country around advocacy of natural law and nothing else? Robert Riley says, if that were the case, we could ask everyone to read Cicero and we would be fine. Or even better, we would require that they read the preamble of the Declaration of Independence. The problem is that they wouldn't be able to understand what the laws of nature and nature's God means. I wonder if we could find a dozen people in our universities, media, or government who believe that such laws exist, the laws of nature and of nature's God. Almost our entire educational establishment has been dedicated to the proposition that they don't. They've never seemed struck by the conundrum that if this were so, they would have no right to exist either. So something's required above all else today in America. A recovery of the faith. Our founders were unanimous in thinking that the Republican form of government that they had established was completely contingent on the virtue of American citizenry. They also agreed that the principal source of virtue was religion. So any act of restoration will be premised on a spiritual recovery. In closing, let me dispel a myth. There isn't a total separation of church and state in America, and there never has been. God is mentioned 4 times in the Declaration of Independence. Congress hires chaplains, as do most state legislatures and the military, and prisons. Presidents take the oath of office with a hand on the Holy Bible. Every piece of U.S. currency claims in God we trust. So don't you buy in for a second that there's a separation of church and state. That's the myth. Up next, we're going to have a comedy time talking with Steve Garone about the Catholic Comedy Festival tomorrow.
Welcome back to the Terry and Jesse Show. To join the conversation, call 888-526-2151. Now, here's Terry and Jesse.
We are back, and I am here with a brother in Christ from Phoenix, Arizona, Steve Garone. Steve, welcome to the Terry and Jesse Show. Tomorrow's a big day here in Mesa, Arizona. You have been organized. Yes, you've been organizing the St. Phillips Neri Festival. I'm excited. I'm going to be there. I'm getting the word out as much as I can. And I'll tell you, you're an amazing young man. And I say young man because anybody younger than me is young, okay? I just turned 60. So if you're under 60, I'm going to call you a young man. Steve's an amazing young man. His wife is about to give birth to baby number 6. And here he is running around all over, you know, the Diocese of Phoenix, organizing a festival because he wants to bring joy to the Diocese of Phoenix. Because, again, when you turn the page, in the news cycles, you get one depressing story after another. And Steve is saying, we got to fight this, man. We got to fight this. So, Steve, I commend you for what you're doing. Tell us about tomorrow and invite the audience, please.
Of course, you guys are all welcome to come. Go to catholiccomedy.com/festival for information on it. And if you use the promo code Virgin Most Powerful, all one word, you get, I believe it's 25% off of tickets. Everyone is welcome to come join us. It's going to be a great time. We have Father Leo Padalinghug. He's going to do a cooking demonstration and also a talk on humor and bringing people back to the table. We're going to have the Catholic Man Show there. They're going to have a conversation
Awesome. Yeah.
We're going to have a conversation. They're going to have a conversation about how to create a men's group in your parish and their diocese to get for togetherness. And then we're going to have the Crown and Glory Tea Room, someone from the Crown and Glory Tea Room, which is up in Cave Creek, I believe. Fountain Hills. They're going to give a speech about creating a women's group in your area so that you can, you know, a women's group for, and a tea, using tea to get a women's group together. But we're going to have a lot of fun. It's going to cap the night off with a comedy special. about like an hour-long comedy special. We've got some local Catholic stand-up comedians who are going to be doing some work there, an improv and some sketches by yours truly. My sketches are probably going to be pre-recorded sketches because I may be in a hospital. It's been kind of a crazy week because the baby was due on Monday and hasn't come yet, and so just waiting. And I was talking to Father Leo about it, and he said, "God has a great sense of humor. You're probably having that baby on Saturday." So if I'm not able to make it there, I hope that you all have a great time. I do have people who are going to be backups for me and making sure that everything gets taken care of. So there's going to be a lot of fun going on. We have a lot of great door prizes that we're giving away too. So come down for that. I got a 7 foot tall poster of Mary holding the infant Jesus. And it has its own stand and everything. So that's really great. And I'm looking forward to that. I also got a sword of a Robin Hood sword. I got a replica of Robin Hood sword we're going to be giving away, and some stuff for the kids. And it's going to be a lot of fun. We have a lot of things that we're doing. They're going to have the Christmas lights still. Most of them, some of them had to come down because the rainstorm that we had last week damaged a lot of stuff, but we're going to have a lot of lights still up and the Christmas tree still up. And we're going to have, a nativity scene set up as well for people to take a look at. We were not able to do adoration. We were hoping to be able to do adoration, but we're not going to be able to because the diocese doesn't want the adoration to happen outdoors. Mm-hmm. And since this is an outdoor event, they say because there's potential for, you know, water issues and, you know, it's harder to secure and stuff like that. But we're still going to have a lot of fun. Still going to be a very Catholic event. And before the event starts, there's going to be blessings and exorcisms performed at the location. So it should be demon free when you get there.
So. Yeah, you know, I'm going to tell you what's so good about this is that it's going to bring Catholics together. We need to unite. Good people are going to meet each other for the first time. Like, you know, there are a lot of people are on Telegram, on Signal, and maybe on these chain emails. And they're going to say, "Oh, you're Joe DeBrato. Oh, you're Steve Garone." And so, Steve, I'll tell you what I like about this is that I hope this is replicated around the country. Just go to CatholicComedy.com. You can get a hold of Steve. All his contact information is there. Because, I mean, we're doing this tomorrow in Mesa, Arizona. Steve and his crew of a couple of zealous young Catholics. But we like people to replicate this all over the country. This isn't like something like Steve is saying, "Hey, this is my cup of tea. Nobody else can copy this." He wants people to do this all over the country. And so, because we want to bring people together to build bridges and also to network with each other because, hey, again, I mean, not to go negative here, but you never know what could happen in the future. We could all end up in FEMA camps. I hope that's a joke. But it's good to get to know people that are like-minded and that are tracking towards heaven. Right, Steve?
Yeah, of course. It all started because last year I just wanted to have a festival and I thought maybe I could make it happen. And it turns out that there are a lot of people in my area that really wanted to make it happen too. So if any of you are listening out there and you think I'd like to have a St. Philip Neri festival in my town, start trying to plan it, you know, make a few phone calls. You'll find that there are a lot of people out there who also want to do it too, and that you can get together with and you can make something like this happen. You know, there has been no St. Philip Neri festival in the Phoenix metro area ever before. This is the first time we're doing it. And as a result, it's just, you know, I was just asking people who they know and everything. Now we have a location, we've got speakers, we've got prizes to give away, we've got vendors, we've got all sorts of stuff like that. And it's all because we just started saying, "Hey, what can we do? How can we make something like this happen?" I have to give a lot of credit to my wife because she's pregnant, but she's also been making the phone calls and spreading the word and getting people out there. She has done quite a lot to support me, and that's, you know, and it's, and you know, I'm here to support her too. And when she is ready to give birth, I will be there whenever that is. So, but I was able to make great connections along the way. So I know that if I have to leave, I'm leaving everything in good hands. So I don't have to worry about it because we have so many good, zealous Catholics out there who really believe in this idea. And you'll find when you talk, start talking to people, you say, hey, I want something to, you know, to promote joy and happiness. A lot of people just be like, yes, how can we help? And that was what I got was a lot of organizations, a lot of people just saying, how can I help? And I was like, you can, you know, help us out. You can donate something. You can, you know, sponsor something. Then I got a lot of people on board, a lot of people who believe in the idea of it. So we're hoping for future ones too.
Yeah. Steve, let me ask you a question. I forgot to mention this to you sooner. The Diocese of Phoenix has in their webpage, it has the contact information to about, I think like about 40 Catholic men's groups in the different parishes. Probably. Mm-hmm. Yeah. I'm just wondering if you tapped into that.
I didn't know it was there.
Yeah. You know what? I'll send it to you after the show. And it's got the name of every leader of every Catholic men group in the diocese, which is about, it's a sizable number. It's about 30 guys. They could put out an email blast to their people tonight. So I'll send it to you after the show.
Yeah, that sounds like a plan. I mean, we got there's a lot of stuff that I have to do today as well. So I'm hoping that people listen to this and have listened to the other things that I've been on and or, you know, that anyone has been on to talk about the event. We have some last minute arrangements to make and setting things up just in case to make sure everything's ready to go for tomorrow. But I'll try to send out that email blast to all those people. But yeah, it's going to be great. We've got a lot of great people. We still have some people who are contacting me like, hey, how can I get involved? How can I help? And it's like, it's tomorrow. So pretty much just show up and you'll be helpful. But if anybody out there, if you know people who are in the Phoenix metro area who you think would be interested in this, you know, shoot them a message, say, hey, did you hear about the St. Philip Neri Festival? And again, in catholiccomedy.com/festivals, where all the information is about the festivals, catholiccomedy.com/festival. Where you can read about what we're doing, what we're trying to do, our mission, which really is to bring people back to the table, is the overall mission of what we're doing, to get people to come back together, to eat together, to pray together, to live together, instead of being separated out and fearing one another, because that's what we've been doing for so long. We can't be the types of people that are afraid of each other. We have to be like Christ to go out there and to talk to people and to dine with them. And I was talking about my wife the other day, like if you look into the Bible, right, and you read about in the Gospels, Jesus spent a whole lot more of his time eating with people than even like preaching. Like far as like the percentage of his time that he spent listening and just being there with people versus the percentage of time that he was, you know, giving huge sermons, like he spent a lot of time just being with people. And we need to do that too. We need to be with each other, physically be there. It's not enough to just, I follow this person on Twitter. You have to, you know, invite people into your home, or if you don't feel comfortable with them being in your home, take them out to like a restaurant or something and say, hey, let's just have a conversation in an area where we can eat and be merry. And people are less cranky when they've eaten, so it's a lot easier to actually get some movement on your evangelization efforts.
That's right. And again, Steve, it's just good for people to meet each other, like-minded people to meet each other. Mm-hmm. We're all in this together. And again, I just hope this takes off from one diocese to another, and people go to catholiccomedy.com. We're going to have the St. Philip Neri Festival here tomorrow and Vertuccio Farms. Good Catholic guy here in Mesa, Arizona. And from what time to what time? And can people buy tickets at the gate?
It's from 1 to 8. You can buy tickets at the gate. We will have people there to be able to buy tickets at the gate. You can do cash, or we'll have credit card readers as well. There's still time to be able to go online to and at catholiccomedy.com/festival. There's a little button that'll bring you to our Eventbrite page that allow you to purchase your tickets on there, and you can get your 25% discount by using the promo code Virgin Most Powerful.
Steve, thank you so much. And I just want to say a little prayer for your wife that all goes well.
Thank you.
In the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Ave Maria, gracia plena Dominus tecum. Benedicta tu mulieribus et benedictus fructus ventris tu, Jesus. Santa Maria, Mater Dei, ora pro nobis peccatoribus, nunc et in hora mortis nostrae. Amen. In nomine Patris et Filii Spiritus Sancti. Amen. Steve, we'll see you tomorrow, my friend. Thank you very much.
See you tomorrow.
God bless you and your wife.
All right, thanks.
All right, up next, We got Bible with the Barbers. Have a great week, and I hope to see you guys. I'll be there tomorrow at the St. Philip Neri's Festival from 1 to 8 p.m. I hope to see you Catholics tomorrow. God bless you. Keep the faith. Stay strong.